The Air Force identifies a pilot lost in an F-16 crash. Republic Airlines agrees to buy out Frontier. And Southwest Airlines reservation agents have a new contract. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, June 25th, 2009. The U.S. Air Force yesterday confirmed the identity of the airman killed in Monday's F-16 crash in Utah. The nighttime exercise was a final routine training mission before 28-year-old George Brian Houghton of Chandler, South Carolina, was to have been deployed to Afghanistan, according to family members. Officials of the 388th Fighter Wing at Hill Air Force Base say the investigation is underway at the scene in the Utah West Desert, about 35 miles south of Wendover. There were no witnesses, but ground crews and another pilot were involved in the same mission. There's no indication so far of what the cause may have been. Frontier Airlines Holdings says it's entered into an investment agreement with Republic Airways Holdings, by which Republic will serve as equity sponsor for Frontier's plan of reorganization and purchase 100% of the equity in the reorganized company for about $109 million. If the plan's approved in the courts, Frontier would emerge from Chapter 11 as a wholly owned subsidiary of Republic, which also owns Chautauqua Airlines, Republic Airlines, and Shuttle America. Frontier Airlines and Lynx Aviation would maintain their current names and continue to operate as usual. Republic is currently one of Frontier's creditors. Republic CEO Brian Bedford commented, quote, "We commend Frontier and its employees for their hard work and accomplishments during this difficult restructuring period. We believe this agreement represents a new beginning for Frontier, positioning it to build on its recent successes and strengthen the Frontier brand for the benefit of employees and the customers and communities it serves," unquote. The International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers, District 142, says its membership has voted to ratify a new contract with Southwest Airlines. The four-year deal covers 5,300 customer service and reservations agents and was approved by 54% of the members voting. District 142 President Tom Higginbotham commented, quote, "This agreement provides financial security for our members while giving Southwest Airlines the stability it needs to continue growing in a very difficult economic climate," unquote. The new agreement provides an immediate 3% wage increase retroactive to November 1st, with top pay increasing to $26.61 per hour. The union says the company paid 401k contribution increases 1% to 8.3% retroactive to January 1st of this year and will jump again to 9.3% on January 1st of 2011. This new agreement becomes amendable on October 31st, 2012. Sophisticated new police UAVs proposed for use over American cities are based in large part on technology developed for RC models and even look similar to model helicopters. The FAA has so far said no to letting them share airspace with manned aircraft, but okay to test in North Little Rock, Arkansas. Well, that test isn't going so well. Critics have called the UAV an $80,000 toy, and the fact it requires four officers to operate it has also drawn flack. Now, the unit has crashed after suffering a software failure on Saturday during a training mission. The Argentina News reports the craft was badly damaged and had to go back to the factory in South Carolina for repairs. FAA's Les Dorr explained the agency's civilian UAV concerns to the online publication Digital Communities. Quote, "There's nothing to our knowledge and no UAS technology at this time that would allow unmanned aircraft to meet the same see and avoid standard that manned aircraft have to operate under," unquote. Up next on ANN, U.S. Customs intercepts two big shipments of cocaine. A Dallas photographer gives us a dress rehearsal for Security Directive 8 Gulf. And the inventor of the Williams fan jet has gone west. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for June 25th. I'm Paul Platt. U.S. Customs and Border Protection says its agents at Newark Liberty International Airport discovered more than 45 pounds of cocaine in a duffel bag while conducting baggage inspections on a flight arriving from the Dominican Republic. CBP says a routine X-ray inspection of the bags detected an anomaly in one of them. Further examination of the bag revealed 35 brick-shaped objects wrapped in gray tape. A field test confirmed cocaine worth more than $2 million, according to CBP. The find came just 3 days after another big catch, in which CBP says it found 84 pounds of cocaine, valued at over $4 million, in a shipping container arriving from Panama. In the Newark case, nobody attempted to claim the bag, and there have been no arrests. The investigation continues. If you've wondered how the U.S. Department of Homeland Security's latest bit of security theater might play out at your local airport, we may have a template now. A photographer for the Dallas Observer was taking pictures of a B-24 Liberator, which was giving rides for Father's Day at Dallas's Addison Airport. That's a reliever airport north of the city. When TSA officials challenged his right to be on the tarmac, Addison police officers, one with an unholstered gun, handcuffed the photographer and held him till TSA could clear him. He was told he was violating federal law and that a report would be sent to TSA. The incident even closed the airport for a short time. The photographer, identified in a blog only as Danny, recalls, quote, "The pilots were pretty much cool and laughed at me and were even willing to escort me to take more shots. However, the officer had asked me to leave, so I did. The police were professional and I consider myself lucky," unquote. Maybe so, but this happened at an airport which apparently doesn't even have airline service. Will the response be escalated a notch further if you're a GA pilot found to have triggered the unpublished boundaries of Directive 8G? It's probably only a matter of time till we find out the answer to that question. Aeronews has learned that Dr. Sam B. Williams, who founded and still chaired Williams International, passed away Monday at the age of 88. He's best known for his patented invention of the small fan jet engine that enabled the creation of small, efficient business jets. With FAA certification of the Williams FJ-44-1A engine in 1992, Williams International became the first and only company in the past half century to break into the fanjet industry. Since that time, 4,000 FJ-44s have entered service, fulfilling Dr. Williams' dream of making jet travel safe, convenient, and affordable. He won many awards over the years, notably the Collier Trophy presented by President Jimmy Carter, the Wright Brothers Memorial Trophy presented by President Ronald Reagan, and the National Medal of Technology presented by President Bill Clinton. Dr. Williams was also inducted into the National Inventors Hall of Fame and the National Aviation Hall of Fame. His son, Greg Williams, current president and CEO of Williams International, will assume the title of chairman. Still ahead, Rockwell chooses L3's electronic standby instrument to back up ProLine Fusion. The Smithsonian prepares for the anniversary of Apollo 11. And how do you define perfect landing? You're listening to Aero News.
You hear that sound? It's one of the all-time great inventions. Takes lids off cans just like that. But now, let's picture something even bigger. A tool that can take the lid off a whole airport. Actually, thousands of airports. It's a Garmin WAS GPS. Lets you make glide path approaches using runways that were once closed tight during IFR conditions. Hey, if you're gonna fly in the soup, you gotta have an opener. Garmin WAS GPS. Follow the leader.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, June 25th. I'm Paul Platt. L3 Avionics Systems says it has a 10-year deal with Rockwell Collins to supply its GH3900 electronic standby instrument system as the backup in Rockwell's ProLine Fusion integrated avionics. The GH3900 replaces mechanical instruments and provides attitude, airspeed, and altitude, plus heading, slip skid, navigation data, and vertical speed in a single 3-inch flat panel display. The unit has its own built-in flight data computer and pitot-static inputs, so it can function completely independently as a backup. A feature which was no doubt of interest to Rockwell is the GH3900's ability to have its display configured to a look and layout matching the main system. We're less than a month away now from the 40th anniversary of the first landing by humans on the surface of another world. It was July 20th, 1969, when the Apollo 11 mission touched down on the moon. The Smithsonian's National Air and Space Museum is commemorating the moment with several related programs, including astronaut appearances, book signings, the opening of an art exhibit, and gallery talks by the museum's space history curators. All the events are free and take place in the National Mall building, so if you're planning a trip to Washington, D.C. next month, you might want to check them out. Find a list of the events in the text version of this story, dated June 24th, at aero-news.net. And if you're among those who believe the U.S. government made the whole moon landing thing up, there's even something for you. On Wednesday, July 1st at noon, Apollo and the so-called moon landing hoax will be presented by Roger Lanius of the Space History Division. It runs 15 to 30 minutes, and questions will be welcome. Sounds like fun. And finally today, Ralph Squaglia has been flying since 1944. So when his single-engine home-built Hummelbird had engine problems Sunday morning over South Florida, he knew what he had to do. He chose the Sawgrass Expressway and got the bird down on the side of the road. Squaglia apparently clipped a light pole on landing and the plane suffered substantial damage, but the pilot was uninjured. He told the South Florida Sun Sentinel he was very careful to avoid any moving cars. Quote, "It was a perfect landing," unquote. Now, I wasn't sure what the definition of perfect landing was. I do recall that a good landing is any landing you can walk away from. A great landing is any one in which the aircraft can be reused. A Florida state trooper who investigated the incident says Squaglia will not be charged with any traffic violations. So maybe that's the definition of perfect. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, a look back at a great moment from the Jim Bass era at Piper Aircraft, the debut of the Piper Jet at NBAA 2006. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts. Find them on iTunes, Odeo, and at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.